You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, into hour two on this Wednesday. Logan, Connor, Cam, Simon all along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Wet basement, they have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Lots of Flames chat in hour one, as well as an NFL offseason check-in with our pal Andy McNamara. If you missed any of that, make sure to check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Still to come this hour, another edition of Wild Card Wednesday with the gentleman in studio. So looking forward to that. Quick reminder, 960-960, fan feedback line open to you. Let's chat on this Wednesday. We can dive into the Flames, NFL offseason, anything you want to talk about. 960-960. We're kicking off hour two, one of my favorite chats of the week as we head down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in our pal Ailish Forfar, host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet. Ailish, what's up? How are you?
Hey, it's been forever. What the heck? You guys booted me off last week.
Yeah, Justin asked. He said you're getting too much FaceTime with us.
Sure.
Had to cut you out. I'm sorry. We have lots to check in on because you had your trip out to Saskatchewan for hometown hockey. How'd it go?
Oh my God, that was so much fun. Crazy though, like a whirlwind of a weekend. It was Easter weekend, and I flew out on Friday to Regina, and then we went to the small little community of 852 people, Wolseley, Saskatchewan. And I grew up in a small town, shout out Sutton, Ontario, which most people listening from your neck of the woods won't know, but it is small. I think when I was growing up, it was like a couple thousand, like 2, 3, 4. That looked like New York City compared to Wolseley. Like this place was, I mean, like one corner, the town, if you blinked, you missed it. And so show up and, you know, we're at their arena and the sweetest, most lovely people. And I got to spend the whole day there with them into the evening and they lost. And it was actually devastating. So this is for Kraft Hockeyville and, yeah, you know, four really great deserving towns there in the end. And Elliott Lake, Ontario won. And it was, God, it was so exciting being around them. They had so much spirit for their community and they needed the $250,000 for their arena for a new like ice resurfacing plant. And, you know, I got out there on the ice with the kids and it needed some help. I'll tell you that, but like a cool old barn. And so you're live on TV waiting for this announcement and Gary Bettman is reading, you know, it's a fully just completely a vote. There's no funny business. And when they lost Logo, I was like, I need to hide my face from these people because I felt so sad and it was devastating. But then this is how you know you're in a good town. Their leader, their community leader, he gets up on the mic and he just gives this speech like it was, you know, Miracle. It was Rudy. It was name a sports movie. He just got up there and he talked about how their community had grown so much from this process because they put like months and months and effort into this and they fundraise and they raise awareness. And there's only 852 people in the community, but all of Saskatchewan was behind them. And oh God. And so he's on the microphone and I'm standing there with my microphone. Like we're not live because they went to Elliott Lake. And I just felt so like a little sad that they lost, but B, really, you know, privileged to get to go and be a part of that because you get to see, you know, the inner workings of an awesome small town. And they do get, you know, $25,000 and they get some help in terms of like new equipment from the NHL. Anyway, so it's not all lost, but a wonderful experience. I got my 20 seconds on Hockey Night in Canada, my big debut.
Let's go.
And so, yeah, only onwards and upwards. Watch out, Ron McLean, because I've been to a small little town now. I know all about towns. Like, I can get up there and spit some Wolseley, Saskatchewan facts. So it was really, really fun. And yeah, it was a long weekend for 20 seconds, but really, really sweet to get to be able to do it.
That's awesome. And I'm glad you got your moment in the spotlight of Hockey Night. That's great to continue the upward trajectory that is Ailish Forfar right now, and that's great. You've only got like 900 and some little towns to go to before you catch up to Ron.
Yeah.
So you're slowly making progress, actually. Right?
yeah, I'll start going to one every weekend, and then you know, by the time I hit the point where I can't remember much, I'll be ready. I'll be ready for my Hockey Night in Canada debut again. But no, it was really, really sweet.
How was the weather?
It was actually great. Like, they apparently were having really nice warm weather, and then we showed up and there was a bunch of snow, but I kind of didn't want it to be nice and hot and sunny in Saskatchewan. I wanted it to feel like Saskatchewan. So we got some snow, but I got to see like a nice prairie sunset, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, it's nice out here. My brother actually went to, I don't know, you might know because you're from at that surrounding area, but Notre Dame, like the high school, Notre Dame, it's in Saskatchewan. Anyway, it's a hockey high school, private school, whatever. He went there when he was growing up, and my parents were going to send me there. It's in Wilcox, Saskatchewan, but I'm the younger kid. So I think when my brother got sent away to Saskatchewan, they're like, no, we can't send our daughter. She's too precious to send away. So I didn't end up going to Saskatchewan, but he had a great experience. He played like for the hockey team there and everything. So we had a little connection to Saskatchewan, but not for me. But anyway, it was really, really sweet. And glad to be back into, you know, big hockey town here where we can't shut up about the Leafs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's probably going from, you know, good feelings and warm feelings to everything back with the Leafs. Because you were in the building the other night for that game against Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. That was the first time I've gone as a fan in like 2 years, actually, because we go as broadcasters. So I could have a couple beers and, you know, yell, go Leafs go and not get in trouble because I'm not wearing Sportsnet stuff. But no, it was a good game. Like Leafs really took it to Florida for most of that game. And then that fake comeback at the end there, but it looks like they're going to play Florida now all of a sudden. Like, you know, we've had 100 discussions over our last couple of weeks about who they're going to play. And it kind of seems like at this point it might be Florida. Florida's falling apart. So like, are you getting them at the right time? Like it's peaking very interesting here in Toronto.
Yeah, you know, and I always wonder this. My dad's got a friend that's a really good Leafs fan, and he's as pessimistic as anybody about the team. And I get it. It's been a long stretch in Toronto. But I always think of them when something like that happens in the third period. And I just wonder if the collective of fans in Toronto see a comeback like that in the third period against Florida, and they just go, here we go again. Like, come on. Like, only us. We could be up 10-1 in the third period, and somebody would make it close. Like, you just can't have a calm, easy night in Toronto, right? It's got to end with some sort of blood pressure spike, right?
Oh, like, they don't make it easy, you know? That one was looking like, wow, a nice, complete, efficient win. And then that comeback, I just think there's been too many, you've been hurt too many times before to feel like those things won't haunt Maple Leafs fans. In the end, they're going to play tonight. They got another big one against Tampa. These are two teams that we have a little bit of history with. I think they're pretty meaningful games just in terms of maybe sizing up the opponent. Florida was big because of playoff positioning, and Tampa Bay's like been crawling and like scratching at the Maple Leafs right from behind. So these are important points. It's so interesting when you get to like the final 2 weeks of the season, there's a lot of things that we're trying to figure out. Okay, who's your starter? Like, well, now it's maybe might be Samsonov, and then okay, can Matthews get 70? But what if he's at like 67 and there's two games left? Like, do you risk playing him? But 70 is amazing, so maybe. And then okay, you want to make sure everybody's healthy and happy and ready for good habits come playoffs, but you know, you still got to win some games. You can't just give everybody load management. So there's a bunch of different things to focus on over the next 2 weeks here before their final game, which will be against the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning once again in about 2 weeks. So the storylines have been given to us in plenty at this point.
I had our pal from Sportsnet, Sam Cosentino, on Monday, and we talked a bit about the Leafs, and he presented an interesting idea to me, and it really works with this game against Tampa tonight for Toronto. Say Tampa takes 2 points and does get closer to Toronto and all of this. Would it be more palatable for the Leafs and Leafs fans, Ailish, to go through the Metro, like to fall into a wild card spot and take on New York or Carolina in round one and just push those other teams away for about, like, does that, Sammy brought that up, and you know what, I thought, it's maybe not the worst idea. I mean, you're not going to fall out of a wild card spot. You're well ahead of those teams. But I don't know. I kind of would like the Leafs against the Rangers or Carolina a lot more than Florida or Boston.
I see it in two different ways. Nice for just different storylines. I would love to play the Rangers and the Hurricanes because for us as broadcasters, like, it's different. It's refreshing. And the Metro is something that, you know, you kind of put, although they're right beside us really in terms of everything, we just kind of put it aside because it's always Florida and Boston and Tampa. So it would be refreshing for us here at this building. I'm sure the fan base would be excited to play a different opponent, and maybe the team would be, okay, you know what, like, it's New York, you know, yeah, they've clinched and they're close to the top of the standings, but why not, you know, why not try something different? Why not go through a different beast? But the thing that scares me is the way you have to get there is falling, right? And sure, falling down to get to a position is never like a nice stretch right before the most important hockey of your season. So I would rather be clawing my way upwards and trending upwards, not like the Panthers, who were like 2-7-1 in their last 10. Like, if they fall down, they've started to be a little bit less scary for us when we look at sizing up that team. But if they at least fall out of a playoff spot, they're in a wild card spot, like, what does that just say about the way they finished this season? I wouldn't want to be going into a playoff battle knowing that you were in a different spot 2 weeks ago and something changed, whether that means you had injury or maybe that meant that your goaltending wasn't as shored up or you're making mental mistakes. Like, I think either way, I think I said this last 2 weeks ago, Boston, I want to slay the Boston Bruins dragon. Like, I can just imagine that weight being lifted off the Maple Leafs if you can get through an opponent that's like just giving you nightmares, right? Like, sometimes that harder passage to start what is going to be a long journey can be such a sigh of relief in a way and can really motivate a team. Like, you know, when the Panthers went on that crazy run last year, they were peaking at the right time. They got into the playoffs. Nobody believed in them. And they had a real hell of a journey to the final. I think if falling into a wild card spot would not bode well for this fan base, I think people would be really angsty. I think the players would start to wonder, like, well, what the hell, what's different this time around? The flip side, it could be nice just to, like, look at the Rangers and the Hurricanes and be like, oh, hi, welcome to the playoffs. So, but selfishly, I would rather, if it was me as a player, I want to be in a good spot and a good mental approach.
For sure.
Yeah, give me the Boston Bruins. Give me the team that, you know, everybody hates and wants to beat more than anyone.
Yeah, and you know what? As you mentioned that, you mentioned going through, you know, the teams that have kind of given you a lot of troubles before. Remember Washington before they won the cup? Every year they ran into Pittsburgh and they finally slayed that beast on their way to the cup. And it doesn't it kind of feel that way for Toronto in a sense too, where it's like, if you get one or two of these under your belt, maybe you could finally slingshot yourself into one of those runs.
I mean, it's we've seen it like time and time again, like, and history repeats itself in terms of teams being able to get over that hump. It's like when someone finally gets a goal and then they go on a goal scoring streak because it's like, okay, that belief level and that mental pressure that you just weren't even close is finally out of the picture. But in the end, like, I think the most important thing for any team getting into playoffs is, what is that last week like? Are you feeling like, okay, we're in a good spot. We're resting players. We're certain the size of our opponent. We know who our starting goaltender is. We got our power play cooking. Our PK is unbelievable. Our fan base is hungry. Like, wouldn't that be exactly the recipe to hope for good playoff success? We've seen that. And then that was someone like the Boston Bruins who then fell in the first round. So I don't think there's ever a perfect way to script it. Sometimes the best, they fall off right away. The President's Trophy curse, you know, having the best record ever in NHL history and you lose in the first round. Like, we've seen it time and time and time before. To me, it's like, where are Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares' heads at? Can they be the guys to do this time around? Like, will they rise to the occasion or will they crumble? And I think, like, everything else is a nice luxury to think you can control, but you really can't.
And it's funny, as I say that, and we had that conversation with Sammy, and I look at the Metro and, you know, New York's actually the top team in the league as you and me speak on this Wednesday. So it's like, yeah, maybe it's different, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's actually not all that better to go through that.
Yeah.
It sounds fun, right? Okay, no Boston, no Florida, but then the other team's really good too. So maybe there's no good answer to it. Maybe you're right. You just got to worry about yourselves and kind of focus on doing your own things and just, you know, the opponent is who it is, right? You can't really change that aside from playing your own game. I'm curious with this Leafs team more than anything, Ailish, if they're different enough to, like, if this group feels different enough to change the narrative that's been around this team for so long. And we won't get that answer until the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, I think in the small amount of time that Brad Living's been the GM, he's done enough around the edges and, like, quietly deserves a lot of praise. Not even quietly, but, like, he doesn't get it a lot because they're still living in, like, look what Kyle Dubas did to this team. But
yeah.
I think, you know, the way Domi and Bertuzzi have really come into their own. At the beginning of the season, nobody really knew what the hell they were doing. Like, they looked lost. They didn't look like they could play in the market. And they have really shown that, okay, it's not just Matthews, Marner, and Willie. There's Bertuzzi. There's Domi. There's waves of goal-scoring power. There's Bobby McMahon, who's playing for the Growlers, who don't even exist anymore, like a minute ago, and he's been a great star. You've got Nick Robertson, who's basically fighting for his playoff life every night, putting pucks in nets. Like, I mean, Matthew Nyes, we thought he was going to be the savior last year, and he doesn't have to be now because there's just a bit more depth. So I'll say, like, I feel a little bit stronger about depth up front in terms of someone that can score a playoff big goal, because there's always that one guy when you get down into, like, the second or third round that is like, who? Oh, you got three goals in the third round and you know, you came up big. Like, there's somebody that steps up, and I think the Leafs have a lot more candidates for that. Will they do it? We'll see. In terms of the back end, like, the, you know, that's always been a struggle we've been talking about, but I've liked Joel Edmondson. I know it's not, like, the sexiest name, but he's been a physical beast. Like, I would not want to play against that guy. He makes things uncomfortable. He makes teams, you know, pissed off. When the biggest game that I saw that matter was when the Oilers were in town and the Leafs just, like, cooked them, and it was a Joel Edmondson breakout night. And I thought, okay, this guy could be something. You know, nobody had too big of expectations, but he brings a different energy than any other Leaf had previously. And now I actually feel like, for the first time in a while, we know Samsonov is your starter and Wolves your backup. And let's just say that for the next 7 days, and when you call me next week, it might be different. But they're starting to look like they're figuring it out as well. So, yeah, are they different? You know, not in terms of big names, but maybe it's more around the edges this time around that actually make things different for the Maple Leafs.
Ailish Forfar is along with us, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet, and of course Leafs Radio on Sportsnet 590, the Fan in Toronto. Wanted to ask you this, because you mentioned it a little bit earlier in the case of Austin Matthews and perhaps pushing for 70. What about all this point scoring race right now going on in the NHL too? Because it feels like the last couple of years, Connor or somebody else has been so far ahead that it hasn't really been this close. But here's Kucherov and MacKinnon, both at 127 points. And as we know in Calgary, McDavid at 126. Ho-hum, he just does it again. Like, who wins this thing in your mind? And is it going to be, like, could we see down the stretch, like, there's two games to go and Colorado has nothing to play for, but MacKinnon's like, hey, I want to go out and win this trophy. Like, I want to beat these two guys.
This has actually been a big topic on our show, and every week we do kind of a check-in, like, okay, Hart Trophy, but yeah, scoring leaders, et cetera. And it's so interesting when you look at Connor McDavid's going to get 100 assists. Like, that doesn't happen. And just how do you qualify if Connor McDavid he's at 97. Let's say he gets four more assists. He breaks 100. But then let's say that Matthews gets 70 goals. I know he's not right there, but he's still got 8 games to get 8 goals. I think he could do it. How are you supposed to determine, you know, two incredible feats? Those are just one statistical feat. And then you look at Kucherov at 127, MacKinnon at 127. Like, I'm so glad I don't have to vote for this stuff, because I think people, it's going to be one of those things on Twitter where everyone's just, there's pitchforks being thrown at everybody. But I've always really liked Nathan MacKinnon's game from early on before. And I think he was leading for a while, so it's easy for me to say now he was my pick, because I just love the way he plays all around MVP style. But the fact that Connor McDavid is 1 point below him after their team was literally an AHL backup, like ECHL team for the first bit of the season, like that in itself, like how much more do you give value to having to pull your team out of the gutter, right? It's really, really interesting. I think it's probably one of the few times that I felt like it's going to go down to the wire, which is usually what this stretch of hockey isn't about. Everything's solidified, you know, is winning the Vezina. You basically, you know, you got all these other awards on lock, but the fact that this one is so close, I think it's going to make these games really interesting. It's also going to make decisions for coaches really hard. As you mentioned, like what if MacKinnon is 1 or 2 points off and they've got one game left? Like, are you going to risk putting Nathan MacKinnon out on the ice just to get, you know, a goal or an assist when worst case scenario could happen, he could get hurt or something could happen, right? These coaches are going to have to think, what's more important? Playoff success is always the answer. But if your player is like 1 point away, are you not going to play? And then like, this is going to be a really interesting 2 weeks and how they judge what's most important. I know everyone's answer will always be winning a Stanley Cup and always be making sure your players are as, you know, healthy as possible. But you know, in the back of my mind, you don't think Sheldon Keefe wants to put Matthews on the ice if he's at 69 goals with 2 games left? Like, probably. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I got a big future bet on Matthews 70. So I'm like, ooh, come on, Keefe. Like, I need Matthews 70, okay? I need it. I got lots of weddings this summer. I got bachelorettes. I got everyone's getting married. I have to pay for my own wedding, so I need Matthews 70, okay? So, like, selfishly, let's just get a hat trick tonight, and then we'll have less to figure out.
Yeah, a couple more of those empty netters, and we're fine. As long as we get to the 7-0, we're okay. Before I let you go, you guys had a really good chat with Madison Shipman on the show yesterday. She's awesome, first of all.
Yeah, she's great.
Second, but I got to ask you, how are we feeling? It's very early, but I'm nervous about the Blue Jays, I have to be honest.
Oh, my God, yes. First of all, yes, huge shout-out to Madison Shipman. She's awesome. I don't even know how Sportsnet found this girl. Like, she's not from Toronto. Like, I was trying to figure it out yesterday. I didn't want to ask her. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm just like grateful we have her. She's great. She'll be on Blue Jay stuff all year round. So if you haven't met Madison, make sure you take a look, but she's super smart. I cannot believe they got no hit in the fifth game. My jaw was just dropped and it was so embarrassing. Like, it's just, there's no way to sugarcoat it. I think this is going to be a roller coaster. Even these 5 games have been a roller coaster. They're smoking the Rays, and then they don't have any offense. And then the next day, oh, they're back at it. Bombs. Vladdy's hitting 450 over, like, the moon. You're like, yeah, we're back. And then we're so not back. And then they get no hit by a guy who I did not even know was a pitcher.
Nope.
And we're just like, what's going on here? You know what? It's going to be interesting. How about that? They're going to keep us on our toes. We're going to be all over the offense. Don Mattingly shaved his beard yesterday because, like, already we're feeling like there's a jinx in the air. I don't know, man. Like, they have the home opener Monday, which I'm going to try to run down because the problem with our show now is it ends at 7. And that's when the game starts. Mm. So I have to be Miss Uber Express all the way down to the Rogers Center every day. But I'm excited just to have them back. Like, it's fun. That's the beauty of baseball, is like every day is a completely different story to be written. But man, they've wrote like 5 different novels in 5 games. We'll have Dan Shulman on our show in about 2 hours. So he's always more eloquent than me, but I don't even
he's
know.
He's more eloquent than everybody. He's just Dan Shulman. That's all it is.
Some of this stuff is just like, it's crazy. It's been fun. How about that? I mean, the Astros are 1-5 and all 5 games that they've lost were games where they had a lead. So, I mean, it could be worse, I guess.
It could. David Schneider hit that home run and we're feeling good. He's back to being the best player in baseball. So it's all good. Ailish, you're the best. Always appreciate the chats. Hey, take care this week. We'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week, guys.
Yeah, thanks. You too. See you, pal. Ailish Forfar joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet, which you can catch in just a couple hours on TV, or Leafs Radio on Sportsnet 590, The Fan in TO. Take a quick break, come back on the other side, finishing things up with a new member of Wildcard Wednesday. We get Connor involved in our weirdness. We'll do that next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, we're closing things out on a Wednesday edition of the program. Logan Gordon along with you. Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Downtown Studios. Alongside producers Connor and Cam. Intern Simon along with us for the week as well. We're in a busy show. Chats with Ailish Forfar and Andy McNamara earlier. Plus checking in on the Flames on a practice day. They're getting set to head out to Winnipeg for a quick 1-game road trip against the Jets before the final battle of Alberta Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. One piece of business left to handle on this Wednesday, and it's time to get weird with your afternoon show. It's time for another edition of Wildcard Wednesday.
Get ready to know your afternoon show. It's time for Wild Card Wednesday.
All right.
Yes, welcome in. Another edition of Wild Card Wednesday is here. And while Shan skips out on work, I brought in a much more efficient replacement. Connor Gronsdale joins us for his first ever edition of Wild Card Wednesday. Are you excited, Connor?
I am thrilled.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Text line 960-960 if you're listening live. Join in with us. We'll each take a turn spinning the wheel. Seven different categories. Whatever we land on, we ask the group, and everyone has to answer. Music, movies, sports, Flames, personal life, wild card. We got it all in there for you. Food. We do it all here on Wild Card Wednesday. And Cam, I think it's only fair, since it's Connor's first time, that he goes first and spins the wheel, right?
Connor, would you like to spin the wheel, sir?
Yes, please.
Personal life.
The one that dooms so many, Connor.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if I still have a job after this.
So, that's done worse. You're fine.
The question I have for you guys is, what is the worst injury you've ever sustained?
Ouch.
I've had a couple concussions, which are never fun. But the one that hurt the most was grade 12 playing rugby. Right off the opening kick, my teammate grabbed a guy by the jersey, and I tried to wrap him up around like the hips or so. And I thought we were just going to take him down to the ground, but my teammate wound up swinging him, and my teammate's elbow caught me square in the nose and busted me open literally 5 seconds into the game.
Oh my God.
And I was gushing everywhere. Like it was just a fountain
that
of
is
blood. And we, our team nurse for the game was actually late that day.
Oh no.
So she had her, I believe it was an MRU student assistant with her, didn't really know what to do. So I put some like toilet paper or newspaper in my nose to stop the bleeding for a while, and it didn't stop. I was covered, but my face hurt.
I can't imagine.
That's old school.
A really long time. So
that is blood.
That's probably the worst one I've ever had, was the elbow straight to the nose and the fountain of blood. Concussions are never fun, don't get me wrong. I'm not like Peter Klein level of concussions, but that's probably the one that comes to mind for me.
When I was, I think, 17, I was skiing at COP, and I used to be like a half decent skier. Like I would do not like anything like big jumps or anything like that, but, you know, do a few tricks. And I was trying to do my first ever backflip at COP. Bad idea. So I would go to do the backflip, and basically how I landed was, I landed with my back down, but my skis hit the ground first, and then my back hit the ground. So my knee, my right knee, kind of just went straight up into the sky, and I hyperextended it by like 30 degrees, and I blacked out, and I woke up in the, what do you call it, like the medical care center at COP.
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, you've torn your ACL, you've nearly torn your MCL, and there's one more CL that I can't remember the name of.
MCL?
ACL, MCL, PCL. And PCL. Thank you. And they're like, yeah, you're getting out of here on a wheelchair.
Wow. So what, like the one ski plant, like I'm assuming the one ski
planted straight in the snow.
Planted and the other one didn't.
Straight up with it. Yeah. And so I was in physiotherapy and cryotherapy for like 6 months after that. And sometimes my knee will just randomly pop out of its socket now. It's awesome.
That's gross.
It's wicked.
My brother was an idiot. He loves to snowboard. My brother broke his wrists, I think, like 3 or 4 times snowboarding. He was such an idiot. I think the last time he went out to like Sunshine Village, he called my dad and was like, I broke my wrist again. My dad's like, that's okay. That's fine. You find your own way home. I'm not picking you up again. What about you, Connor?
Nothing quite as exciting as you guys. I've been pretty lucky injury-wise until this last summer, I was playing senior baseball. I was standing on first base, and there was a single into left field. And this might as well be beer league. So I round second base, and I see the third baseman in left field retrieving this bloop single. So I'm like, all right, I'm taking the extra bag. And if anyone knows me, I am not fleet of foot. So I start flying to third. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm going to coast in there. And all of a sudden, the third baseman, like, flies in front of me and cuts me off. But I'm, like, half a step from the bag.
Yeah.
So I go into, like, a half slide to get down in case the throw's coming. My slide knee gets, like, caught underneath me with my cleats on the shale and just twists. And all I hear is,
oh, gross.
And I stand up. And when I tell you, the rush of adrenaline that went through my body, I'm like, this is new. Something's wrong. And so I go sit down on the dugout, and I'm like, things are getting wild. Like, the adrenaline coursing through my veins. Luckily, my sister there, who went to school for kinesiology, she was coaching my little sister's team across the way. And she comes over, and she's like, yeah, you need to go see a doctor. And I had another guy on my team who used to play football. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's torn. It's torn. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. And it ended up being a partially torn ACL, and it was not a fun couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. I loved playing baseball as a kid, but I watched one of those YouTube compilations of guys getting hit by comebackers in baseball. Like, pitchers taking it square in the chin after. I just have a total fear of baseball now. I'm like, I could never do that.
Yeah.
Like, if I took one of those to the cheek, I'd probably be dead.
Yeah, if I see that
I'd
thing coming up my face.
Never recover from that.
I'm not moving. I'm taking it square in the chin.
I'll never forget.
Did you guys see that video recently, too, of those two baseball players colliding at first base?
Yeah.
It made its way around lately.
Oh, my God.
Those two, and they, like, double knock each other out. I'm scared. I'm terrified of baseball now.
Yeah. Those are collisions.
a couple texts at 960-960, including skipping work Shan, who says he's had 4 concussions, and he thought the headaches were gone until he started working with us.
That's messed up.
Cam, if you could block that number, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you're not texting in anymore, Shan.
Matt in Cochrane says, when I was a toddler, I ran into the corner and split my head open. A pretty big scar down my forehead. Then Harry Potter came out, and the physical pain became emotional, as I needed glasses at the same time. Guess who got an unfortunate comparison? Some chicks dig Harry Potter, though, Matt, so you might have been okay.
You're a wizard, Matt.
You're a wizard, Matty. This one says, I dislocated my right shoulder 8 minutes into my first ever roller derby game in January. I've dislocated a shoulder before, too. I've had a separated shoulder that's not a lot of fun.
I can't imagine.
No, no, thank you.
Hey.
Roller derby's aggressive, by the way.
Whoa.
That's a tough sport. Bro. Good start, Connor. I like that. Cam, why don't you go next and spin the wheel?
All right, let's spin it.
We gotta get more music.
Sports.
I know.
Sports.
Sports. All right. You have the opportunity to ask one question to anyone in hockey, player, coach, GM, owner, whatever, and they have to give you a 100% honest and complete answer. Who are you talking to, and what are you asking them?
That's a deep question.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I forget the name of the gentleman.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's
but I want to go and talk to the director of officiating square in the eye. I say, director of officiating, what in the world is a distinct kicking motion?
I don't think they could give you an answer. That's one of the only thing I wonder about.
That's what I need to know. Every time I think I know what it is, it gets turned on its head. And no, I don't know what it is anymore. Is it a kicking motion? Is it not? Can you do it? Can you not? I don't know.
I'll keep mine pretty Calgary related.
Right.
If I could truth serum Johnny Gaudreau, I'd want to know why he left Calgary.
That's a good one.
That's honestly probably the most accurate answer. I could come up with something deeper if I thought about it, but in the name of time, that's the first one that comes up that I think we still question a lot in this city is why exactly.
Yeah.
Did you go? Because, I mean, you're not winning in Columbus, right? It's been a terrible team since you got there.
But I thought he went there to win hockey games.
That's what he said, right? And if it is family and it is where his family wanted to be, then that's fine. I would just like to know what the answer really is, I guess.
But who wants to be in Columbus?
That's a really good question, Connor, and it's a fair one.
to win hockey games. What do you mean?
Yeah, to win a lot of hockey games.
And that
to
worked
be
out
the
so well.
32nd most popular team in the state.
Yeah.
You got one, Connor?
Yes, I do. I'm going back to baseball. I would go and ask Shohei Ohtani, what's the deal with the whole Ipe situation?
Oh, I like that one a lot.
I would ask him what his bet was.
Yeah.
I need to know what the parlay was.
You know what? And that's such a good one because that Shohei thing, I'm so with you, Connor. I just don't, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm an idiot because I've never had enough money to know what it's like. But I'm like, how do you just not know that's happening?
Yeah.
Like, you've got advisors and you've got investments and all this. And you're just like, yeah, here's a couple $1 million gone.
Yeah.
Like, and no one mentioned it to you.
I wonder if his
what?
His bookkeeper's been fired. Like 4.5, poof.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed if I had an accountant and he was just like, yeah, by the way, we let eBay take like 4.5 million from you.
Like a tax deduction or something.
You couldn't
okay,
have
yeah,
given
sure.
me a phone call? Like you couldn't have let me know that eBay wanted 4.5 million? No?
Yeah.
And they this is a nice relationship too, right? Like it's a weird...
And, like, you didn't ask any questions when he asked for the 4.5?
Yeah, like, you were just like, yeah, what's it for? Oh, just some things. Oh, it's
just a thing.
It's a federal gambling investigation. Yeah. Like, what?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, was it on sports? Yeah, it was on sports. Oh, I'm probably not going to pay that for you then. Sorry, eBay. That's a really good one, Connor. I like that.
Thank you.
This text says, I'd ask Brad Treliving how many deals were done or not done because of ownership.
Ooh.
Lonnie says, I'd ask Torts, why are you a complete a-hole?
He had some good comments today.
Torts is fair. And this one says, nobody's asking any questions and nobody's missing money because Shohei's the one who gambled it away.
Dun, dun, dun.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah.
Shohei
we'll
had the
here.
Nastiest parlay, dude.
It's going to make for a great 30 for 30.
It really is, for sure. A couple more injury ones, too, that came in a little later I wanted to get to. Tim in Calgary says, got you all with best injuries. 17 years old, suffered a cerebral hemorrhage and multiple concussions as a result of a sucker punch in carpentry class in grade 12. Spent 2.5 months in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. I hope you hit him back at some point, Tim. This one says, when I was 6 or 7, tripped over the little crack in the bowling alley lane, bowling ball fell on my hand, fell on my head, landed on my pinky, blood was pouring up, ended up getting a few stitches on my pinky. Scar reminds me of it every time I look at it.
Ah.
Bowling alley's a dangerous spot, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't know about it. This text says, questions for Truth Serum in Sports. For Brad, what was the asking price for Eichel that the Flames wouldn't do?
Ooh.
That would have been a good one, too. We got to finish this out here, Cam. I got the last spin of the wheel on this Wednesday.
Quick wheel spin here.
Da-da-da-da-da, Connor and Cam playing.
Wild card!
Wild card!
Ooh.
Guys, what's the one restaurant you're never going back to?
Red Lobster.
What?
I went there. I got my lobster. I got the biscuits.
The biscuits are delicious.
It's all right.
You say the biscuits are all right?
It's all right, man.
Cam.
It's all right. I don't know if I could ever go back there for what I paid to sit in a Red Lobster and sit in, 10, 15, 20-year-old booths and half-decent lobster and the biscuits.
But you understand you're in a landlocked province, right?
Absolutely. And
the,
I know
the
I can go.
Seafood is like, you can't go into Red Lobster expecting like the same you would get in Vancouver.
Of course. Believe me, I've had Vancouver seafood and it is some of the greatest I've ever had.
Seafood purist, if
but,
you will.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as like
it's
landlocked
it's a lot,
seafood restaurant.
It's a lot of money.
I like some Red Lobster.
I do like my lobster. It's a lot of money and when I want to eat lobster, it's just okay for me. I don't know if I want to spend that type of money on a Red Lobster date.
You and Shan with just some food takes, I can't get on. You didn't even like the biscuits? You were just okay with the biscuits?
They're okay. They need the butter. They're okay, man.
Connor, please save us with something here.
Yeah, this one's...
A restaurant you'd never go back to.
Maybe not a chain specifically, but one specific location. I went on a guy's trip to Minot, North Dakota last summer. And we went to a Buffalo Wild Wings there. And when I tell you, the service was... It took us like half an hour just to like, hey, what do you want for drinks? It took like another hour and a half to 2 hours just to get these wings that were cold. And yeah, we ended up just going to Arby's. Sonic after. Sonic.
Okay.
There was a Buffalo Wild Wings in Calgary that...
On McLeod. I think it just shut down.
Yeah. It was. I think it shut down a little while ago, but yeah, it was...
Rest in peace, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Guys, I'm never going back to Eastside Mario's.
Oh.
I understand this.
It just... I can't... It was never... Like, I get it. It's a chain Italian restaurant, and I hate the stupid kid on the commercials now. I hate his stupid face. I really want to hurt him. I can't see.
Whoa.
Hey, Pops, we got more salad. Oh, cool, man. Your salad sucks. Like, he's not even talking about the pasta. Like, nothing's good at your restaurant. It doesn't vibe with me. I think there's much better Italian options than Eastside Mario's. I mean, give me an Olive Garden, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a Chianti's in Calgary for our All Italian purists. Mm-hmm. Give me anything, just not Eastside Mario's. And now your commercials have offended me and made me hate the child actor that you have employed. So,
as for not going to Amore for $2.50 Thursday, Slogan.
No, I guess not. sorry if Eastside Mario's... there's a sponsor, but I don't have a lot of sponsors on the show, so I don't really have to worry about it that much. So, your Cheddar Bay biscuit take has offended many, including Shan. He doesn't like it.
I thought I blocked that number.
Matt and Cochran says you can just order the Cheddar Bay biscuits. You don't have to just go in for the lobster. Even Heather is on you, who says that you don't like the red lobster biscuits. How can you do that?
They're fine. They're just fine. I like Olive Garden biscuits more than Red Lobster biscuits.
This takes us never going back to the Saddle Dome.
Woof.
I guess if that's your restaurant of choice. this one says, tell me you didn't say Chianti's and good Italian in the same sentence.
No.
I like Chianti's.
Chianti's is an institution, man.
I don't know if it's like I'm not a foodie, but it's better than Eastside Mario's for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the top Italian restaurant in Calgary would be. It's not Eastside Mario's. I like Chianti's quite a bit. There's no garlic home loaf, but it's
hey,
still.
Hey, Pa.
Yeah, it's just this stupid kid asking for food. I'm not going back to your establishment. Connor, well done on your first edition of Wildcard Wednesday, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Appreciate it. Connor and Cam, outstanding producers. On this Wednesday edition of Sportsnet Today, along with our intern, Simon, we're in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios wrapping up a Wednesday edition of the program. If you missed anything, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Back on a Thursday game day to get you set for the Flames and the Jets. That's when we'll talk to you next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Traffic Update.
From the City News 660 Traffic Center, I'm Ian Busby. Ongoing issue in the northwest. We have a crash on the southbound Stony Trail ramp to Country Hills Boulevard. Single vehicle involved. That ramp is completely closed to traffic by emergency crews, so you need to find an alternate route, seeing a delay through there right now. Then in the northeast, we have a crash on southbound 52nd.